Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, Lee. Okay, here we go. Jump on with the sheriff real fast. Hobart Lewis. Good morning, Sheriff.
Hey, good morning, ma'am. How are you?
Good, good. All right, sorry about the phone lines there.
It's okay.
Yeah, all right. So we had quite a shooting over the weekend.
Yes, ma'am.
It looks like, tell us about this. You have, your office has now caught at least one of the individuals responsible for the shooting. Tell us what's going on here.
Well, we have three other suspects we're looking to identify. We think we got that done yesterday with some information after the press conference. And we think we at least have them located in a general area and hope to talk to them today. We did have two different shooters inside the club. One of them that was arrested, the Cooper subject that's in jail in Atlanta. And we hope to have him up here in the next few weeks. He's, you know, obviously not really cooperating with the extradition process from one state to the other, but he will eventually make it to Greenville.
So, and these shooters were part of the rapper's entourage, right? The rapper who was performing?
That's correct. He brought in between 30 and 40 people through a back door, which is common. I mean, you know, you wouldn't bring him in through the front, obviously, but there's some good video footage of him walking in and people who surrounded him. I'm not sure if that would be some type of security he brought in or just support or friends, you know, whatever. But they did all arrive together. They came in together. The shooting took place. They all left together. So they were definitely in a large group, and looks like they were all from that Athens, Atlanta area.
So, what's going on here? I mean, why would the entourage of a rapper, I mean, do you know yet, it just opened fire on the crowd like that? Was it gang related or what?
There was a rumor that someone had tried to grab a chain off the entertainer's neck. That kicked off almost immediately after the shooting. But after watching just hours and hours of video, you don't really see anybody put their hands on that particular person. But you do see the one subject that was standing beside the rapper while he was performing throw a gang sign to a person in the crowd. They apparently throw one back, and I'm not sure what those signs were. The gang investigators that watched the tapes had to kind of interpret that for us. But after that occurred, the guy on the stage pulls his shirt up and shows that he's got a pistol, puts his hand on it, and then he later pulls it out, and the shooting starts.
You know, Charlotte, where I'm from, had a big gang problem, and we had a lot of these rappers that are kind of regionally known would come into town, and they were affiliated with certain gangs but not affiliated with others, and that would trip the other gang members to come out, and it became a problem when they came into town because there would be gang related shootings because of the affiliations of the rapper. Just coming into town is a provocative act. Are we beginning to see that here? I mean, are we beginning to have a gang problem? And I only ask because the former sheriff, one of the few things he did do really well was begin to map out the connections and how a lot of these shootings we see in the media here in Greenville are not random. They are gang related. What do you say to all that?
Well, you're 100% right. And we do have gang investigators who continually gather intelligence, and we make a lot of drug arrests that involve gang activity in our area. We just made a really large arrest that we'll announce probably by the end of the week as that investigation wraps up, that involves another murder, a drive-by shooting. that's 100% gang related, and the drugs that they supply to this area. So this gang that is in our area, we're dealing with. What happens is when this particular entertainer came to town and brought a different gang with him, or gang members with him that are known gang members out of Georgia, just like we have known gang members here in South Carolina and in Greenville. That's where the conflict and the tension began as soon as they got there, because I guess from one gang to another, they know, you know, what gang you're in, and there's a territory issue or a turf issue. So they come in through the back door, and they got a few backpacks and that kind of thing, and some were kind of padded down and some were not. And we're not real clear where they distributed the guns. If they got past the security guard, did they distribute the guns inside the club? We're still trying to narrow that down with some footage, but it's some of those parts of the club, it's very difficult to see what they're passing off.
We're talking to Sheriff Hobart Lewis about the shooting at the Lavish Lounge this weekend. Two people shot. Okay. So, Sheriff, State Representative Leola Robinson says that you are to blame for the shooting because you did not enforce our governor's state order shutting down nightclubs during the COVID-19 pandemic. What do you say to her?
I don't know her, and not real clear on exactly what she said until you just told me. So, I don't think I would have anything to say to her, to be quite honest. If you watched the press conference, and if she watched it and she saw the men and women that work at the sheriff's office who went in that club and attempted to save lives and protect more people, I don't put much credibility in anything she would say, but I don't know her, but I guess don't really care to meet her, to be honest, if that's her thought process. If she's some type of state representative, then she certainly needs to probably do a better job of creating some laws and supporting law enforcement to help prevent these things from happening.
Well, and see, here's the thing, though, but you have said that you don't have the manpower to be enforcing the governor's orders on, you know, masks or shutting places down. And I think that's what she's falling for you for. She's saying, well, if you'd shut the nightclub down and not allowed them to operate, this wouldn't have happened. Can you kind of talk to that a little? I mean, even sure. If you wanted to enforce the governor's order with a lot of these places, could you do it? I mean, I know now the place is shut down after the shooting.
Well, and that's only because of the criminal activity that occurred at
right,
the club.
Right.
But from a civil standpoint, if you look at the executive order the governor signed, we could have went out there and wrote them a citation for operating. That's a $200 fine. It's a ticket and a court date. It's a civil penalty. And they could have continued to operate. It's not quite as easy as going out there and locking the door shut and telling everybody to get out because you're not supposed to be open. That's a civil issue. So, again, well, we're not going to ride around and police people for not wearing a mask or continuing to operate their business and not social distancing and do all that stuff. If you look, we had about 30 deputies from all over the county. We had Greenville City there to assist us. The Highway Patrol came out immediately. We had a lot of resources at that one place, but that was everybody that was working at that time in Greenville County. If we had people dispersed all over the county policing, you know, clubs or concerts or anything that was going on, you can imagine, you know, we probably would have been lucky to have half of that at the club to respond to that shooting. We do have manpower issues. We've hired about 20 people. The academy in Columbia is closed because of the COVID-19 virus, so we can't get those people certified to work the road. So it's a slow process, and it's been slowed down by the coronavirus.
Stick with us for just a sec, Sheriff. I got one more question for you.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, going to jump back on the line really quickly with Sheriff Hobart Lewis. Good morning, Sheriff.
Hey, good morning, ma'am.
I want to get at one more thing. I mean, you're getting some criticism here for the, you know, the shooting at the club. This has been all over the news because they say, you know, you should have shut the club down because they did not, you know, comply with the governor's orders to remain closed. I just want to understand something you said in the last segment because I wasn't clear 100% clear on it. Do you have the authority to lock the doors, you know, to bar the doors or no?
Over the COVID-19
yeah,
violence?
Yeah, I'm not, I don't know. You don't?
No,
so
ma'am.
You couldn't do what the Greenville News and the state legislator are bashing you for not doing. You could not close it down. You're saying all you could do was write them a ticket and they go right on operating, right?
That's correct. If they chose to continue to operate, that's exactly how that would work.
Okay, because and see, that's how I read the governor's ordinance. This is what confused me in the last segment. It's how I read it, or not the ordinance, his order. And two, I didn't see anywhere you guys had the ability to actually shut a business down like we're seeing in some other states. So it seems like you kind of got unfairly criticized there, Sheriff.
That's all right. I'm used to it. It's okay.
Yeah, I guess it comes with territory. Well, and I wanted to kind of wrap my mind around this because when you guys were running for office, I heard some incredible stats about like, and I was really shocked. I mean, you're the sheriff's department, sheriff's office. You are responsible technically for policing the entire county, but for the most part, what it really falls for you to do is to police areas that are unincorporated, right?
Right.
You know, outside the city of Greenville, but technically you're responsible for the whole thing. How many active deputies on the street do you have? How many are there?
423. We got 615 employees total, but you have about 420 that are certified. Out of that are on uniform patrol that actually respond to or answer calls on a daily basis, you're looking at about 188.
Now, is that all at the same time, or is that what would
no,
be
ma'am.
On a shift? No, how many would be on a shift at any given time?
Roughly 25 to 30, and some of those overlap at times. So at any given time, you should have at least 25 deputies patrolling Greenville County.
That's it?
That's it.
I knew it was low, but holy cow.
Well, and the other side of that is you have community patrol who has a person assigned to each beat area in the county. So they would assist uniform patrol just like they did on Saturday evening, Sunday morning. You got narcotics officers who would assist if needed. They're out working. But as far as uniform patrol, the people who answer a call on the radio when a 911 call comes in or a call for service, you would have 25 marked cars that you see that have decals on them and blue lights, you would have about 25 of those working a 12-hour shift.
And again, there's obviously Greenville police for the city of Greenville, and other cities have their police. But you, I mean, as an agency, so I mean, the idea that you're going to go out there and shut businesses down and ticket people for not wearing masks, and you got basically 25 people on the road at any time. I mean, I'm sorry, the math doesn't add up on that, sir.
No, it doesn't. And again, I think when you have an elected official that don't know the inner workings of law enforcement in any part of the country, a lot of times they may say things and they don't really have the knowledge of what they're talking about. A lot of people spout things off for some type of political gain. And I guess maybe, I'm not sure when her election is, or she just got reelected, or where she is in her term. But, I suggest her to come out and ride and sign a ride-along form and come out here and see what goes on.
And again, we're talking about you being criticized for not shutting this business down by State Representative Leo LaRobinson, who's blaming you and not the rapper and his entourage for the shooting. And again, I saw that and I wondered, what on earth does she want you to do? I mean, like, literally 25. I mean, this is 25 people on duty, Sheriff's Department at any time. This is a county of 523,000 people.
Right, 850 square miles. It's a big count.
Right. So, I mean, the idea you're going to, you know, force people to wear face masks and police business owners. I mean, I don't know how you'd even physically do it, even if you wanted to. If you wanted to, which honestly, sir, I'd really rather you be out there pulling over dangerous people and going after criminals.
Well, and that's certainly what we do. I don't think anybody can call in after this and say they were questioned or stopped for not wearing a mask or standing a little bit too close together. That's up to the individual, and, you know, it's up to each of us to monitor our own health situation and take care of ourselves and be responsible. But we're not, again, we're not going to police that.
So one more time, I just want to give you, I mean, because they took a pretty big hit out on you at the Greenville News here. And, you know, headline, legislator, Greenville County Sheriff's Office could have prevented Lavish Lounge shooting. To me, this looks political. Obviously, you're running against a Democrat for election in the fall. I mean, that's what this looks like. But sure. All of, you know, what you just told me should have been included in this article that, I mean, you got 25 guys on the road at any time. I mean, good luck with that. There's more businesses than there are them, never mind the mask ordinance. So I just want to give you the last shot here because I don't feel like you – I feel like they kind of took a hit out on you.
Well, that's – you know, I wouldn't ask about that. Obviously, we were busy looking for murder suspects.
Right. Which you found. Yes.
Yeah.
You did
yeah,
find the murder suspects. Good.
And we're continuing to work on it. This particular murder got a lot of attention. Again, there's another very large case we're working on from a murder back in January that we'll release that information at the end of the week. So there's a lot of crime in Greenville, and there's a lot of calls that we respond to and the men and women at the sheriff's office. I'm very fortunate to be a new sheriff to take over such a great agency that has people that I think everybody saw yesterday that absolutely does their job the way they should. They represent this community very well. They serve this community very well. So I don't give a lot of credit to that story or Ms. Robinson or anybody who says that stuff. Again, if it's I'm not going to politicize the death of two people in a nightclub who were innocent just by being there. You know, they were shot and killed, and eight other people that were shot. The rapper's brother was actually shot and was hospitalized, and I think has since been released. But they don't, you know, it's those are the details that that a lot of people probably don't publish or care to write or hear about. So I don't give a lot of credit to those politically charged stories like that. I don't know that it gained a lot of traction. I didn't hear much about it if it did.
Well, Sheriff Hobart Lewis, I just want to give you a message to pass on to your deputies. I just want to thank them for everything they do. You know, at this time, because it's just really hard to do what they do at this time. And I want you to know that I really appreciate it. And I know I speak for a lot of people.
Well, thank you so much. They do a tremendous job. And thank you for what you do.
Amen. Thank you. Sheriff Hobart Lewis, thanks for joining us this morning. It's all cracking up out there. And this year's NFL season will be no exception. Surprised to see this. I've seen Jason Whitlock's byline for years and years. He's a longtime sports writer for Fox Sports, ESPN. He's been an on-air personality. If you watch sports, you probably would recognize his face. And he's never said anything quite like this before. I'd love to know if you agree with what he's saying. He is forecasting, he's black, by the way, that this is the season that the NFL will jump the shark, much as Fonzie once did on Happy Days. And he's not the only one. He says it's because they're kowtowing too much to the Black Lives Matter movement. Take a listen. It's today's first epic rant by sports broadcaster and sports writer Jason Whitlock.
If the NFL starts out its season with everyone standing for Lift Every Voice and Sing, the Black National Anthem, and then virtually everyone on the field taking a knee when the Star Spangled Banner plays, I think it's going to be, if you remember the show Happy Days, the jump the shark moment when it's like, okay, Happy Days is over, the NFL will run off a nice fat chunk of its audience and will never be seen the same again because of the failure of leadership throughout the NFL. There's no way you can do any homework on Black Lives Matters and not see that it's a Marxist political organization. It's right. Not about black death. It's not about black men. It is a political move. It's a communist political move. If for those people that stand on religious values, and this is where I say just the failure of men, I've seen many of these guys, they claim their Christianity and their religious beliefs. Do they understand Black Lives Matter, communist, Marxism? Is anti-religious. This is a historic failure of men and leadership. This is cowardice at its highest level. This is the NFL jumping the shark and saying we've quit being who we said we are. We're now something else because our money's on the line and we don't stand for the values we said we stood for.
In 1 minute, there is an NFL commissioner. Where is he?
Probably hiding under his desk with Troy Vincent, his assistant. We're talking about Roger Goodell.
Yeah,
these guys don't know what to do. And I don't want to just blame Roger Goodell and Troy Vincent. This is NFL ownership, all
right.
of them. Cowards,
right.
not standing up for what they believe in. America has made them filthy rich and some of the most powerful people on the planet, and they're unwilling to defend the values they built their business on and the country that has enriched them incredibly. This, I mean, across the board, Tucker, politically, in the sports world, I'm looking at men fall out of cowardice. I'm looking at women
That's
fall
right.
out of cowardice. It's pervasive throughout this country.
Wow. That was kind of shocking to come from Jason Whitlock because he's a fairly mainstream sports writer. NFL will jump the shark. And the imagery there of the Black National Anthem, which it really is, it's a beautiful song that they're going to play. I mean, it's not the end of the world or anything. And people standing with their hands over their hearts for that, and then juxtaposed with our national anthem and people kneeling. And you put that on top of the fact that Roger Goodell did a shocking thing. Not only did he reverse himself on kneeling, which is one thing, he encouraged everyone to protest. Those were his exact words. I encourage everyone to protest. And yeah, I mean, if you're talking cancel culture, folks, I don't think you've seen anything yet like we're going to see this fall, given what Roger Goodell has done, because he's just set the stage here. What he just did was a couple weeks ago. What he just did with the NFL was basically say, I'm encouraging everyone to protest. The media is going to go through those who don't protest and who don't kneel. You don't protest, you don't kneel. You don't have the right response when these anthems are played. They're going to tear the NFL apart. They're going to tear it apart. Look what's already happened this year. I mean, we've had players have to apologize for suggesting that every life matters. We're just gearing up. What happens if you don't kneel? So we've gone from what happens if you do kneel where they lose audience. The question for the NFL this week, this winter, is going to be this fall, this winter, is going to be what happens if you don't kneel? I have a feeling they're setting these guys who don't kneel up to be eaten alive by the cancer, right? Freudian slip there, by the cancel culture. He wasn't alone, Jason Whitlock. We don't usually play two epic rants back-to-back, but these are both so good and they're related. This one, also on Tucker Carlson, was from former NFL player Marcellus Wiley on the Black Lives Matter movement, and he is saying essentially what Jason Whitlock is saying. We took a look at this. This Black Lives Matter movement is not about Black Lives, it's about Marxism. Oh, remember, I got to be careful when I say that because that sounds like a slam, but it's not. It's actual fact. Don't forget what the co-founder of Black Lives Matter told us about herself and the other co-founder. These are her words, not mine, in 2015. This is Patrice Cullors explaining what the ideology of Black Lives Matter is.
We actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists.
So this is not, you know, this is not a slam to say they're Marxists. This is not, I mean, this is her, do you hear anything about Black Lives in there? No, because they're Marxist. They're just using Black Lives. She said it, not me. Here's the former NFL player, Marcellus Wiley, going, I looked into Black Lives Matter and...
I don't know how many people really look into the mission statement of Black Lives Matter, but I did. And when you look into it, there's a couple things that jump out to me. Being a father and a husband, that's my mission in life right now. How do I reconcile that, what I just told you, with this mission statement that says, quote, we dismantle the patriarchal practice. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement.
Did you catch that? I want to repeat it. They want to annihilate the nuclear family. What on earth does that have to do with black lives? And that's what he's asking. What does that have to do? That is a war on a nation. That is a war on a culture. That is or was family oriented. All right, I'll let him continue.
Children from single parent homes versus two parent homes. The children from the single parent homes, this is in 1995, I was reading this. 5 times more likely to commit suicide. 6 times more likely to be in poverty. 9 times more likely to drop out of high school. 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances. 14 times more likely to commit rape. 20 times more likely to end up in prison. And 32 times more likely to run away from home. I knew that. You know why I knew it? Because a lot of my friends didn't have family structures that were nuclear like mine, and they found themselves outside of their dreams and goals and aspirations.
Whoa!
Yeah, Ms. Tucker reacting to that. Whoa is right. I got to tell you what, people are flipping out out there. This, sorry about that. Audio fired off. In America today, people just going nuts. This whole mask thing isn't helping. Not one little bit. Did you see this out of Florida? Guy goes into a Costco store. Now, at this point, you go into a Costco today, you don't have a mask on. You got to expect potentially you're taking the risk of some pushback from some people. You may not like it, but you may get some. See, this is what happens now. I swear social media is changing everything. This is from Florida. It's a Florida Costco. Right? He goes into the Florida. He's wearing a red shirt that says running the world since 1776. It's got a picture of America. And so he's not wearing a mask. So it's not very long before an elderly woman asks him why he's not wearing a mask. Well, what happens then? He wasn't bothering anybody at this point. What happens then? Well, everybody whips their phones out, right? Yeah, this guy's now looking at 10.8 million views. And he flipped. He flipped. Anyway, the elderly woman asks him why he's not wearing a mask, and he loses it. And when you're going to hear him screaming in this clip. He's screaming at the person filming, not that it did any good. 10.8 million hits later. Take a listen.
You're 6 feet away from you.
You're harassing me.
I'm not harassing you. You are infecting us.
You're coming close to me.
You're coming close
back
to me.
Back off! Dan. Threaten me again! Dan. Back the f*** up, put your f***ing phone down.
Yeah. So the woman's complaining about the mask. Another guy starts taking up for her. He flips out because he's being filmed. So this is where we are today. This changes everything. It used to be, if this had happened, I don't know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and you had opted not to comply, not to wear the mask, there might have been, a shuffle or something. There might have been some angry words, but you're not going to be, internationally famous. Your life's not going to be potentially ruined. You go to Costco without a mask right now, you could be looking at 10.8 million views, and that's just one of the videos of this. Everybody holding their phones up to immediately phone shame you. And you're famous. By the way, Florida has no mask mandate. Florida has no mask mandate, but Fort Myers does. Basically like here, supposed to wear a mask. However, there's no criminal penalty if you don't. It's very much like here. You just get a fine. Yeah. So this is where we are in America today. And I don't think not complying is what it was 15, 20 years ago. I mean, the massive compounding power of that phone filming. Anyway, he's famous now. Didn't get arrested. They, the security at Costco escorted him out and then later escorted the, you know, woman out, not forcibly. They just, you know, protect her in case he was still in the parking lot and angry. Texter writes, a woman customer flipped out on me in Publix at Dunkin' for going the wrong way down the aisle. Another texter writes, wow, okay, 30 years ago, that man would have had his blank beat, and that would have been that. Another texter writes, Terry, an activist from Venezuela, said that taking down of statues is the beginning of Marxism. Yeah, I know, we played that audio last week. I've been meaning to play it again in this hour. Try to remember to do that tomorrow. Texter writes, seems the woke crowd is really suffering from a brain-eating organism turning into them into misguided zombies. Guess I'll stay asleep. Another texter writes, we live in a culture of don't blame the guilty. It has to be someone else's fault that people don't raise their kids. Now, you know what? We live in a culture that, you know what? If you violate certain things, like I don't want to wear a mask today. Well, there's a mask ordinance in Fort Myers. Well, I don't want to wear a mask today. You are absolutely ground down, vilified, and your life destroyed. But, you know, if you want to break a few laws, set up your own road barrier, fire your gun on strangers who try to cross your barrier, occupy parts of your city illegally, take over the freeway, because heck, no, you know, no matter what, doesn't matter. It's good. See the contrast there? We got people from Atlanta to Seattle illegally taking over areas, shooting people who enter, beating people who enter, ripping them out of their cars, and you don't get this level of shame, but God forbid you don't wear a mask into the Costco. You'll be on the news. See the problem there? The law's broken by the first group, much more serious than a mask decree. But who gets made into the criminal on social media? It's that standard that drives people nuts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.